fake news and lies. Thank you that this morning we are going to again read about the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, Emmanuel, God with us. And so give us wisdom, knowledge, and insight as we open our hearts as well as our Bibles before you, and pray that you would take this message that we're very much familiar with and make it fresh and new for us today as we celebrate the greatest gift for mankind, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen. We're going to look quickly at verses 18 to 25, then we'll come back and touch on it a little bit. I'm not going to give a full-blown sermon here this morning because I know you've got a lot of things planned today, get together with your family, but what I think we need to really look at and be reminded of is what we are celebrating today. And by the way, welcome those of you that are watching on YouTube, sitting at home in your jammies and your bunny slippers. Welcome. With all the wrappings and bows all over the house. Isn't it great? What a great day. So let's look. We're going to pick it up at verse 18 to 25 this morning, and then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. Matthew, being a Jew, is writing to the Jews about a Jew. And it blows my mind that anyone claiming to be a Christian can be anti-Semitic. You got a problem. Thank God for the Jews. Savior came through the Jews. Word of God has been preserved for thousands of years through the Jews. They're my favorite people on the planet. We owe a lot to them. Yes, many of them are in a backslidden condition, but God still is trying to reach them with the good news of Jesus Christ. And wouldn't you know, here we are in a synagogue on Christmas Day, and we continually pray for these precious folks upstairs. So the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. This is it, folks. After his mother Mary was betrothed, the term in Hebrew is kiddushin, and the engagement in those days was just as important as the marriage ceremony. And so the kiddushin, betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, before they had physical relations, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week in Dr. Luke's gospel. And it's not by coincidence that God has Dr. Luke, the beloved pediatrician, I call him, teach on the virgin birth. Virgin birth. I wonder how many doctors today believe in a virgin birth. Well, Scripture tells us it happened as follows. And Mary was found with child of the Holy Spirit. What a miracle that is. Can you imagine this young girl bearing God the Son in her womb? Amazing. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. In those days, there was a penalty for premarital sex. And Joseph was unsure what the situation entailed. Yes, Gabriel came to Mary and told her that she would conceive in her womb and bear a son, and his name would be called Emmanuel, God with us. It's amazing today, as I shared last week, that yes, Mary had the Son of God in her womb, but you and I today as Christians can have the Son of God in our heart through the person of the Holy Spirit. That's a miracle. That every day I just marvel that God with us lives in me, and you should as well. And you know what? Every day we should celebrate the coming of the Lord. And not only that, be ready for his return, because he's coming again for a bride that's pure, without spot or blemish. And so here he was going to put her away secretly. Look how God works. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Isn't it interesting? Both Josephs I read about in Scripture were dreamers. One in Genesis and the one right here. And they both had great dreams. Saying, Joseph, son of David, He was in the lineage of the Messiah. And Joseph, as we know, was not Jesus' father, but he was his stepfather, because in the genealogy in verse 17, it says that he was the husband of Mary. Verse 16, I'm sorry. And so he says, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son. She didn't even have to go get a sonogram. God told her, you're going to have a son. It's a boy. Two genders, folks, male and female, boys, girls, period. She will bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus, Yeshua, which means Jehovah is salvation. And he will save his people from their sins. That's why we rejoice this morning, because Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. The wages of sin is death. Praise be to God, because of Jesus Christ, we have life eternally because of his atoning death on the cross to those of us who believe in him and have prayed and received him as our personal Lord and Savior. He will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This prophecy took place more than 750 years before the birth of Christ. Isn't that amazing how incredible God's word is? Even as Pastor Ryan shared last night, over 2,000 Old Testament prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus Christ. This is the most incredible book we could ever have, the Bible, the inspired word of God. God breathed. Do you know that there are over 3,300 promises in this incredible book for you and for me? So I'm going to share them all this morning. What do you got? Wait, don't leave. No. Isn't it amazing, though? 750 years later, which is translated God with us, and Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife, and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. You know the story. Joseph had to go up to Bethlehem, the city of David, because he was of the genealogy of David, to be registered. And guess what? Little Mary was in her third trimester. Those of you ladies that have been pregnant and born children, how would you like to take a 75-mile donkey ride in your third trimester? Because that's what happened. They were in Nazareth, and because Jesus Christ, according to Micah 5:2, was to be born in Bethlehem, look how God works. Joseph had to go and be registered. And isn't it amazing that she rode on a donkey in her third trimester for 75 miles? They covered about 20 miles a day, so it was about a four-day journey. I think back and I chuckle because with our first child, Tina and I jumped in her mom's Corvette. Yeah. But look at the humility of the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Another thing, he would ride on a donkey again, and you know the story, into Jerusalem, and he would be crucified and nailed to a cross for you and me. Yeah, that's the true Christmas story. Jesus Christ came to die for you and for me. Last week someone asked me, do you have a Christmas tree in your church? I said, yeah, we keep it up year round. It's right behind me. That's the tree that the light of the world, Jesus Christ, hung on. We have lights on our tree, but the all-important tree with the light on it is the tree that Jesus Christ was crucified on, the light of the world, for you and for me. Amazing, isn't it, how we drift from the real, true Christmas story, which I love. This morning, I'm going to show you personally the gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ. Right here. A babe lying in a manger. Of course, he's no longer in it. He died, rose again on the third day, and he's coming again very, 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 very soon. Could this be our last Christmas here? It could very well be our last Christmas here, because all of the things we read in prophecy in the book of Revelation are right there ready to happen. I'm not going to lay out a list. If you've been to this fellowship, just about every week I talk about the third temple getting ready to be built and the red heifer and all those things that are right there, right now. And that's why I always jokingly say, don't buy green bananas. You might not see them get ripe, but that's okay with me, because I'll be in heaven going bananas, being in the presence of Jesus Christ. This is God's gift to mankind. You know, it breaks my heart, too, to know that one day that precious little baby head will bear a crown of thorns for you and for me. And those precious, plump little baby hands and feet will bear nails for you and for me because of our sin. That's the greatest gift of all right there. I'm not anti-gift. We're going to celebrate this afternoon. Kids, grandkids, wrapping all over the place. You know how that goes. Don't forget the greatest gift of all in the history of mankind. Right here. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Just think about it. I'm not knocking the unbelievers, but how many people are truly celebrating Jesus' birth today? And it should be celebrated every day. And you know me, I get irritated. Why do we only have one Mother's Day when we need to give thanks to God for mothers every day? One Father's Day. You know, I think it's important that we give thanks every day for what God has blessed us with. And so here before us is God's precious gift. When our children were born, I had the gown on and the booties they put on your feet and the mask and the goofy hat and went into a sanitized hospital room. How about a manger? How about a feeding trough? That's what the Son of God was born in for you and for me, so that we would unmistakably know who he is. Son of God, Savior of the world. God's greatest gift. And again, if you want to get technical, that's what it looks like today, because he's in heaven. He's ascended. He is risen. He's coming again. But the reason I put this up here is just a reminder of what this day is all about. God's greatest gift, his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know what is included in that gift? I almost brought up a box and opened up the box and was going to tell you what was in it in God's present to you and I, but instead God laid upon my heart to put that precious little manger scene up here to remind us. But you know what we get in God's greatest gift, you and I who believe? Forgiveness of all of our sin. There is no other name under heaven by which you may be forgiven, and there's no other name under heaven by which you must be saved. It's only by the precious blood of this precious child who grew to be a man and walked that dusty road to Calvary and was nailed to a tree for you and I that we can be forgiven for all of our sin, every single one. What else comes in that package? Love that mankind knows nothing about. Agape love. We know phileo, which is a high-five brotherly love, and we know eros, which is a physical love between a man and a woman, and we know, you know, storche, which is a, you know, a corporate love. But only through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ can you experience agape love. Before people know Jesus Christ, as the old country western song says, we were looking for love in all the wrong places. Left, right, love is from above. Agape love comes from above when you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How about eternal life? And I'm not going to cover everything that we benefit by knowing who Jesus Christ is, but how about eternal life in heaven? When you put a number out somewhere, there's a last number. If I would say, oh, we're going to live 1 trillion years, that wouldn't be eternal life. Once you get to 1 trillion, that's it. There is no number that covers the length of our life in heaven with Jesus Christ and the Father and all of our brothers and sisters in Christ forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Yeah, eternal life in heaven. Jesus said, I've gone to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you so. I go to prepare a place for you. So evidently, with all of us here this morning, our place isn't ready yet. But we have some friends and relatives and loved ones and even people in this church who have moved in already. I had a precious brother share with me this morning that a lady that he knew, 100 years old, went to be with Jesus at 3:30 this morning. She must have been singing, I'll be home for Christmas. How close is your place? We don't know. We just need to be ready. We need to put off the old man and the old woman and put on the newness of life. And we need to walk through this life without spot or blemish. Because Jesus Christ is going to call you either through the rapture or the rupture. Nobody knows the day or the hour, but every one of us has an appointment with God. But just think about eternal life in heaven. He also gives us peace, because he's the Prince of Peace. The peace that surpasses all understanding, which means, and we've experienced that as believers, we've been through some of the toughest times in life, but we have a peace, don't we? Because we know God's going to see us through it every step of the way. Joy, how about joy? And I'm not talking dishwashing liquid this morning, folks. You know, the joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The world cannot experience joy. Right now, they're trying to experience happiness with Christmas cheer. I got a Christmas cheer this morning. Thank you, Jesus. That's my cheer. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness. That's what awaits us, plus more and more and more and more. Now I'm going to share with you some things that will be no more. Anybody interested? How about no more tears? He's going to wipe away every tear. He has all of your tears right now, the Bible says, in a bottle. None of your tears go to waste. He knows every tear that you and I shed. He's acquainted with your grief and sorrow with all of us. And I know some of you are going through difficult times right now. We've been praying for you. And God's going to wipe away all of those tears one day. You know, we call it the season to be jolly. This is not always a jolly season for everybody. There's heartache and pain and grief that goes on. No more tears. No more pain. No more grief. No more sorrow. Why? Because there'll be no news channels up there. No more death. Imagine that. No more death. We were talking this morning. I wonder what our body's going to look like in heaven. You ever wonder about that? It's going to be eternal. Won't be one nurse or one doctor in heaven. You'll never have to go to the ER or the urgent care. No, we're going to have eternal bodies as well. No more mourning. What a glorious day it's going to be when these things will pass away forever and ever and ever and ever. Never experience them again. Why? Because of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. Emmanuel, God with us. God's eternal gift is mankind's greatest gift, Jesus. And the true Christmas story in a nutshell is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. The greatest gift is Jesus. And I've shared many times that a gift is not a gift until you receive it. I can buy you the greatest gift on the planet. I can have a Rolls Royce out there for you with a bow on the top, but if you don't receive it, guess what? It's not a gift. And the same thing holds true with God's Son. If you don't receive Jesus Christ, you have missed out on the greatest gift in the history of mankind. He was conceived by a virgin, Mary, according to Isaiah. And Dr. Luke confirmed it. And Matthew tells us that Jesus came into this world, Matthew 1:21, to save his people from their sins. Man, you don't hardly ever hear that in the Christmas story anymore. Told somebody last night, I was just joking. Man, I come home and I got this fat guy in a red suit stuck in my chimney. So I lit a fire. Burning blubber doesn't smell very good. But Jesus Christ, folks, is the true meaning of Christmas. And like I said, we have this morning's text written by a Jew to the Jews about the Jewish Messiah, the Savior of the world. In the bulletin this morning, you see one of the things I wrote facing the book. Last year when the Jewish people upstairs wished me a Merry Christmas. And guess what? The same thing happened this week. They actually bought us a Christmas present. They said, Merry Christmas. And I said, Christmas is my very favorite Jewish holiday. I said, Isaiah 7:14, read it for yourself. Isaiah 9:6, read it for yourself. Micah 5:2, read it for yourself. Yeah. I says, it's a very Jewish holiday. And it always takes them back. But they didn't refute it. And I said, not only that, you want to read blow by blow a description of the crucifixion? Read Psalm 22. Right there, hidden in plain sight. And so through a certain, a carefully selected series of Old Testament scriptures given by the inspiration of God, here this morning, Matthew documents the virgin birth of the Messiah. The first 17 verses, which some of you are going, glad he skipped over those. That's the family tree of Jesus Christ, the genealogy. All of the names there. And guess what? Jesus has some interesting members of his family tree. And that includes you and I this morning. Yeah. It goes from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all the way to Mary and Joseph in Matthew. And it goes all the way to Adam in Luke's gospel. And I'll tell you what, you research some of these names and we got the Adams family. Doodle-doodle-doodle. I'm telling you, we got the Adams family. You read the Old Testament. God came into this world to save sinners. We all qualify. You look at the Old Testament. Liars, deceivers, fornicators, adulterers, idolaters, prostitutes, polygamists, just to name a few. Drunkards, druggies, and that's exactly why Jesus came, to save, to seek and to save those who are lost. All were sinners. I remember, again, I've shared this with the church a million times, before I came to know Jesus Christ, I used to carry an old a New Testament in my fatigues in Vietnam, and whenever I get in a jam and think I'd never going to see the next day, I'd open it up and try to read it. And I read Matthew 1:1-17, and I'm going, begot, 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 begot. What's this begot all about? Later on, you know what? I found out the reason I could not understand God's word is because I didn't know God. He who has the Son has the Father also. He who does not have the Son does not have the Father. And it's like you're reading someone else's mail if you're trying to read this book without the Lord or without the Holy Spirit. And it's incredible. The day that I gave my life to Christ, I just couldn't get enough of God's word. And so to this day, Jesus Christ saves sinners. Yeah, we all qualify. Paul, who was a very religious man by the name of Saul of Tarsus, wrote this, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. But we're freely justified by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, God with us, God's greatest gift. So again, we all qualify. And it's so wonderful as we look at this text here this morning for you and I to be able to gather together with the freedom that we have in America, to carry Bibles, to worship openly and freely, the true meaning of Christmas today. Emmanuel, God with us. And so what we've had before us here this morning again is the true Christmas story. God with us. The question as we close, or before we partake of communion, is God with you? He loves you. He sent you the greatest gift of all in his Son. Have you received that gift? Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Have you personally received God's gift? It's an individual thing. It's not a family thing. You can't get into the kingdom of heaven by grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, anybody. It's a personal relationship that you and I must have to enter the kingdom of heaven. And this is the only gift that will last forever. We're going to get some great gifts today, I guarantee you. Some wonderful things. You get to be my age, you get socks, slippers. But where are all of those other gifts that, man, when you were a kid, where's that first bike? Anybody got their first bike? I can tell you where you can probably see it on Antique Roadshow for about $10,000. But the only gift, my friend, that will last eternally is the gift of Jesus Christ, God's Son, who came into this world to die for you so that you could live in heaven eternally with him. If you have not received him, we're going to give you that opportunity. Because the Bible very clearly says, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and God the Father has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He doesn't say you might be. He says you will be. And if you would like to pray right now to receive God's greatest gift, what a wonderful time to do it on Christmas Day. To receive the greatest present of all, I'd like you to stand quickly and pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. Anyone, as we close. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the true Christmas story. Your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who came into this world to save us. We thank you, Lord, for salvation. What a precious gift it is. And it's a gift that we can cherish forever. We love you, Lord. Thank you for everybody here. Be the God of all comfort with those that are hurting, Lord. Wrap your loving arms around them, I pray. I pray that those that are gathering together with family today, we would let our light shine. And that we would, even as we pray for the food today, give glory, honor, and praise for your greatest gift, Jesus Christ. Because it's all about you, Lord. And so as we come to the communion table with the cup and the bread. We ask, Lord, you cleanse our hearts, our minds, our souls. Purge us. Fill us with your Spirit. And may we truly remember the incredible price that you paid for us as we do this in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If we could have the ushers come forward, we'll pass out the cup and the bread together, and then we'll partake of communion today.